church. We came a few of us, but it was so rainy.
Yeah.
But by these years, weather is a little bit improving. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's open our song. It's we can sing that one. God is so good.
Amen.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is so
to
Somebody touched me. It was on a Friday. God's will. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, somebody touch me. It must have been the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
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 We need fresh touch of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We will ask Brother Bill if he can come to us to open the word of prayer.
This means, Lord, but Father, after we have tasted of thy presence,
Amen.
Lord, this is more than what we need. This is just exactly,
yes.
Lord, what we desire is to enter into your presence tonight.
Amen.
So help us, Father, that, Lord, we would sing the songs of Zion, Lord, that
yes.
would help us to prepare the ground, to drop every care of this world, Lord, and to press in until we have come into thy presence.
Amen.
And that, Lord, when you would meet with us this night, Lord, that you would speak your word into our souls.
Oh, yes.
Let it do something to us, Father, to encourage us, Lord, to give us, Lord, that boost that we need, Lord, to help us to stand on a higher ground.
Amen.
And when the storms of the enemy would come, Lord, at the ending of the week, Lord, they would not find us down there in the valley. But that,
yes.
Father, we would be up there on the mountain rejoicing,
Amen.
And praising. Bless us tonight, Lord. We pray for our brother Vladimir, Lord.
Yes,
I pray,
Lord,
you continue to lead him, Lord, as he
leads
us in song. Father, until we have entered into that blessing,
yes,
and when the minister would stand before your people,
yes,
it will be you speaking, oh God.
Amen.
Bless,
Lord,
Lord, Father, our brother who's ministering tonight. We commit
Amen.
To you that you anoint him, oh God.
Grant
and that you would also anoint us, Father, that we may
yes.
hear, Lord, Father, the word that you have in store for
Amen.
Us tonight.
Yes,
praying
Lord.
For those that are not here, we commit them to you, Father. Every
Amen.
One of them, you know where they are and what they are about, Lord. We commit
Grant
them to
praise,
you,
Lord.
Father, as we commit this service into your hands for
yes.
your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Sister, if you can find that song, it's Count Your Blessings.
Amen.
It's good to count Thanksgiving this evening.
Amen.
Count your blessings, name them one by one.
Mm.
When devil comes to you, you count your blessings.
Amen.
When you come, just to put you down, to think a little bit less about yourself,
mm.
that you are precious.
Amen.
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 When upon the life's billows you are tempted, oh, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you all the Look at others with their lands and gold. your blessing, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is all.
Let's worship.
Amen.
Don't look at your body. Amen.
Amen.
In prison's chains,
with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed at night, and in give you all.
Praise God. because we can see every day your mercy renewing upon us, O Lord.
Yes.
We are glad to be your children and assembled into your house to hear from you, O Lord.
Amen.
We know you have made provision for us today because we have a daily manna for every day.
Amen. Jesus.
See our hungry souls and feed us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Fulfill our needs, O Lord.
Amen.
And take the leadership as we open your words and read a portion of it, O Lord.
Yes.
And make it a living bread for us.
Grant us, Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's open Matthew 4, 12 to 16. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw the great light.
Amen.
And to them which sat in the region of shadow of death, light is sprung up."
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray again. Dear Lord, now open up the word for us.
Yes.
And feed us as we are expecting from you.
Yes, Lord.
We bless in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Be seated. Well, last week, I think, or the week before, we introduced a topic, and we are still laying the foundation for that topic, which is the Word made flesh is the light of the day. Because we saw the prophet saying in the Feast of the Trumpets exactly what the title of the topic is. The Word made flesh is the light of the day. So we saw in the previous sermon that in Genesis 1, God spoke the word. God said, "Let there be light." But though God spoke, but the light didn't appear yet, the prophet says, it may have been 1,000 years before or 10 billion years, but between the time God spoke the word and the time the word manifested, there was a certain time. And in between, nothing came up to life until the word was manifested. The word was spoken. In the spoken word was the power to give life, but life didn't come really physically manifested until that word was made flesh. Until there was light on the surface. Then life would be manifested and we could see the seed coming up to life. Because the spoken word has in it the potential of life, but the thing that gives actually life is the word made flesh. That's why we saw different stages that the word can take. We spoke about a thought, because in God's mind, he knew what exactly light should look like. In his mind, but as long as he didn't speak it, we didn't know what was in his mind. So in God's mind, he knew that there was light. And there came a stage now when God speak what was in his mind. That's why the Bible says, hidden things belong to God, but things that he reveals belong to us. Because in his mind, he has a lot of things, but he reveals gradually what he wants the world to know, people to know at a given time. So he spoke the word, the light to existence. It went from a thought, it became a spoken word.
Amen.
And then from a spoken word, the time it comes to fulfillment, God allowed that it is written so that we keep record of what God has said. So from thought to spoken to written word, but all of that doesn't actually produce life until the word is manifested. It got in it the power to give life. But as long as it is not manifested, it isn't life yet. Amen. That's why the prophet says, so life in, there is a man here that can turn on the light, 63. So life is only by the word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the word of God made manifest. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. Amen. As long as it is still in the book, we believe that this is the word of God.
Yeah.
But as long as it's still there, the prophet says, it still can be questioned. It can't give life yet. It's got the potential to give life, but it is not made life yet. It becomes life only when it is made flesh. Amen. When it is manifested. That's why they could read in the Old Testament that a son is born unto us. But that word was just in the Bible, but it couldn't give life in Noah's time. It couldn't give life in the day Isaiah was speaking that word. It was a spoken word, it was a written word, but it was not made flesh yet. That's why it couldn't give life.
Amen.
So, the prophet keeps on telling us that as long as life is not, the word is not made flesh, life can't be made. So, in Genesis, the Bible tells us that the world was covered by darkness. The seeds of God were hidden beneath the surface, but they couldn't come to light because darkness was covering the earth. So, in other words, the earth was covered by an atmosphere of unbelief. Amen. Because darkness is only unbelief and death. So as long as those seeds were sitting under an atmosphere of unbelief, they couldn't come to manifestation.
That's right.
God, to bring them to manifestation, has to get rid of that atmosphere of unbelief. Remember, we are talking about the word made flesh. And we are going back to see what happened in the past so that we can be aware of what step to take today. Because in every age, God has a portion of word that he manifests for that day. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me? So, God, to make his seed, his children, to come to manifestation, he had to get rid of that atmosphere of unbelief that was covering the earth. The prophet says, the sun, when God was speaking, the sun was already there. Let's read it. It's in the same Psalm 32. Now I believe that the sun and so forth was already in existence.
Amen.
Amen. While the darkness was covering the earth, the sun was already in existence. I believe the moon as it goes on. But there was fog, mist all over the earth, making it dark. Amen. And God said, let there be light, and the darkness faded away. So the sun, the light that would give life, was there already. But since the seeds were covered by an atmosphere of unbelief, they couldn't, life that was coming from the light, which is the sun, couldn't reach to the seeds. Because they were hidden, light was hidden to them because of the atmosphere of unbelief that was covering them. So, to manifest life, God had to come and clear the way, get rid of all unbelief, and make them stand in the presence of the light itself, to get the life manifested.
Amen.
Amen. So, the prophet keeps on saying, and God said, let there be light, and the darkness faded away, and there was a cloudless sky. To manifest life, God had to take away all the darkness so that life could come to existence.
Amen.
That's why, when he came on earth, the scripture we have just read in Matthew 4, they say, Zebulun and Naphtali, they were countries they were living under the darkness and the shadow of death. It was they were town called fully covered of unbelief. Because in those towns, if you read the whole chapter, you will see that after Jesus came, he won his first disciple in that town. The town Zebulun and Naphtali that were covered under darkness. Seeds of God's seed, Peter, Simon, and whoever, Andrew, they were sitting under that darkness.
That's right.
Even though the word was made flesh already. Jesus was born already. The word was made flesh and it came into the town. But the seeds of God, which were sitting under that darkness, couldn't come up to life because the atmosphere was bad. The atmosphere was full of darkness. That's why Peter, Andrew, and the other disciples in Zebulun and Naphtali, they were there. Jesus was born. The word was made flesh. But they were walking together with unbelief. They couldn't see it. That's why Jesus had to come. The Bible says Jesus coming into those two towns was like a light springing up. It was the light coming to shine upon the seeds to bring them up to life. Amen. Even though, that's why I need to insist on this. The word can be made flesh in your day. But you need to get rid. You need to separate yourself from all unbelief for that word to, but that word made flesh to bring the life it's supposed to produce in you. Because unbelief, the atmosphere of unbelief will just make that word made flesh, though it is made flesh, though it is the light of your day, though it has the power to produce life in you, but since you are, you know, surrounded by that atmosphere of unbelief, you will remain dead. Amen. If Jesus didn't come to speak the word in Naphtali and Zebulun, Andrew, Peter, and the other disciple into those towns would remain dead.
Amen.
Amen. Because they were living under that bad atmosphere. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful while we are believing the word. Because you can say, yes, we are in the message. We believe the message. But we have to understand that God's revelation is gradual. God comes to shine the light gradually in every age, in every season. You know, these disciples, the very disciples that understood, that accepted, that believed that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the Messiah, the light shone upon them. But it came a stage where they let unbelief enter into their life and they were now failing to see. They started doubting the same word flesh that they were believing. Though they were in the message, amen. They were in the message. They were message believers. But believing the message is good. But if you let a seed of unbelief in you, it may make you fail to see God move in the revelation.
Amen.
Amen. It may make you fail to understand, to go forward, up beyond with God's move. Amen. We see the disciples, we were just talking about them. They were believing that Jesus was the Messiah. They were believing that he was the bread of life because they saw him healing the sick. They saw him praying, walking on the sea. Everything, it was perfect. They were real believers. But remember, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a 24-hour day.
Yeah.
Amen? The first coming was not a 24-hour day. Because if it was a 24-hour day, it would be only maybe the shepherd that would have seen the first coming. Because even Simeon, he came a few days later, but he was still in the first coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Even, I don't know, Peter and Paul and James, and they came 30 years later, but they were still in the first coming of the Lord.
Amen.
The thief at the cross, he came just at the age of the death of Christ. Amen. But he was still in the first coming of the Lord. Amen. The first coming of the Lord was not a 24-hour day. The first coming of the Lord was a period in which, during which, all the promises that God spoke concerning the first coming of the Lord was being fulfilled. Amen.
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 That's why some people came later. The people that saw him entering Jerusalem on a ass. Those people, if the first coming of the Lord was only when Mary gave birth, they missed the first coming of the Lord. Did they? No. If only his baptism was the first coming, what about the people that saw him in preaching in the temple? So the coming of the Lord, the first coming of the Lord, was all that thing. It was this period where the word, everything that has been written about him, was being made flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Now the disciple, they got stuck some stage. They thought, we have seen him multiplying the bread. We have seen him walking on the sea. We have seen him doing this and that. We have seen the coming of the Lord. That's it. That's fine. For Simeon, when he saw him in the temple as a baby carrying him in his hand, he said, let me go in peace because I have seen your day. For Simeon, for someone who was living in the day of Simeon, that was the coming of the Lord, and that was it. He could go. He said, I'm happy. God has blessed me to see his day. But someone who came after Simeon, when Jesus was not performing the miracles, denying that, even if he accepted his birth, he's denying the word made flesh. Amen. The disciples were okay as long as they were carrying on moving with the revelation. Because there were many scriptures that were meant to be fulfilled on the first coming of the Lord. We see now how our friends, the disciples, they got stuck in a certain habit. They thought, we sleep with him, we eat with him, we know him very well. At a point where he started telling them deep things, but they failed to notice them.
Right.
Amen? They failed to notice them, and an atmosphere of unbelief came upon them, and they started now denying the word made flesh. They were in the message. Amen.
Amen.
They were believers in the message. But they started now failing to see how God was being done. We are going just to take a few steps to see how dangerous it is to let unbelief. Unbelief is not our friend.
Amen.
It will make you fail to see what God is doing in your day. And if you are not seeing what God is doing in your day, that's death. Because that atmosphere is just bringing you the shadow of death, like we have read in Zabulon and Naphtali. Let's read a few verses. Sister Machisa, this is Jesus speaking to his disciple. Luke 9:22. 21 and 22. Sorry. Let's start with 21. And he strictly charged them and commanded them not to tell no man that thing. It was when he asked them, who does the world say I am, I the Son of Man? They got the revelation to ask the Son of God. You know the scripture. And he strictly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Amen. This is a prophecy he was telling them. He was teaching them now deep things regarding what he had come to do. Because multiplying the bread was okay. Walking on the sea was fine. But the main thing for which he came was this. To be captured, to be killed, to die, and to raise the third day. He told them openly, not in parable. Did they believe it? You see. Matthew 17:22-23. He repeated the same thing. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. The Bible says they were sorry. But we'll see that they didn't believe it. What Jesus was telling them there, they didn't believe it at all. They became unbelievers. They allowed unbelief to cover them. So that when this word will be made flesh, they will fail to see it. And if God wasn't merciful to them, they would have died. Because they rejected the thing that would give them life when life was being displayed. Amen. Let's see now the fulfillment. Mark 16:1-2. Let's read to Mark 16:1. And when the Sabbath was passed, this is after he has been arrested and on the cross and put to the tomb. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. I don't know if you have noticed something there. They were not believing in the resurrection at all. Because they were trusting that body will remain there for many days.
That's right.
That was the tradition of that day.
Right.
That they should go and embalm the body so that it would not rot. Amen.
Right.
So they didn't believe what Jesus was telling them. That he will raise the third day. It was the third day already. If they believed what he told them many times before when he was with them, they would start counting days. He was killed such day. We are the first day, the second, the third. This is the third day. Our Lord must be risen now. But they didn't believe it at all. They went and just after the Sabbath, they went and bought some aromas and all this and that to go and anoint him because they trusted, they believed he would stay in the tomb. Amen. Full of unbelief. And we'll see how sad, how low unbelief can bring someone. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Still unbelieving. He's still in the tomb. The stone is still in the tomb. So who shall? Full of unbelief. Amen. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. It was a sign to remind them that how is the stone gone away? You know, he told us that he will raise. No. They were so blinded. They were so unbelieving that even the very signs of the word made flesh in their day, they were seeing the signs,
but they couldn't understand.
Man.
Because they didn't believe in the promise.
Mm.
But remember, they believed that he was born in a manger. They believed that he was the healer of the sick. They believed everything. They even confessed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But now they are denying the evidence of his resurrection.
Amen.
Let's carry on. And entering the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he said unto them, be not afraid, be not frightened. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But you, go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. Verse 8. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Amen. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. I would say, even though they've seen, even though they told them he's raised, he's risen, but they were still not believing. Because the prophet says, here they say, neither say they say anything to any man. They were afraid. The prophet preached a sermon, convinced them concerned. Amen.
Right.
When you are convinced of something, you will speak about it. Amen.
Amen.
They didn't speak because they were not convinced of the resurrection.
That's right.
They were still not believing, even though they saw the sign, even though they saw the evidence of the resurrection. There was still some doubt in them. They couldn't speak openly to say, listen, the Lord that you have crucified 3 days ago is risen. But they were afraid. They were not convinced in them. Unbelief was still covering them, so they couldn't fully benefit of the light that has shone upon them. Now, when Jesus was risen, verse 9, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. It's so weird to read the scriptures when it's not Passover time. I know most of the time we keep them for Passover, but God led us to see something too. You know, it's very important things that happened here. And we are putting them into this context to try and get to where we are going.
Amen.
And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. It was the third day, but they were still there mourning and weeping. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed? Yeah. They were the very disciples to whom he said, I will raise the third day. They believed not. They were clothed. They were covered with darkness. And the word made flesh couldn't be of any benefit for them because they didn't believe. Remember, they were message believers. They were in the message of the hour. But when the message got to a certain stage, my brother, these people, they've been among when Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, many people left. They survived that trial.
Amen.
Many people left when the Pharisees threatened them, they cast them away from the synagogue. They survived. They remained disciples all over the way. They were true message believers. But listen, they were now denying the same word they stood for all their life. They were now denying it. They were failing to see the word made flesh because of unbelief. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them. We are going to see that one as well, the two. As they walked and went into the county. And they went and told unto the residue
neither believed they them. So they were now two evidences. The women in the morning, they came and told them he is risen, not believing. The two disciples came from Emmaus, telling them, we've seen him. They still didn't believe. And afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen them after he was risen. Amen. The atmosphere of unbelief. The same unbelief that was covering the earth in Genesis 1, which was making the sun, the life that was in the sun, not to shine upon the seas and bring them to life, the same unbelief was now upon the disciples. They couldn't now let the Son of Righteousness, who had risen from the dead, to shine upon them. And if God hadn't been merciful to them, they would have died. Like the Pharisees, like anyone else. Because the light that was supposed to give them life couldn't help them because of their own unbelief. Amen. Let's carry on and see what unbelief can make a true believer do. John 20, verses 1 to 15. We are going to read it quickly. John 20. The first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. Then she ran and came into Simon Peter and the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, see, Mary Magdalene said, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Mary, what is it? Even you, Mary, after Jesus has done all the miracles, has performed and even healed you, saved you from the demons, he told you that he will rise the third day. And we are only, they could have questioned themselves. What day are we? And since it's not in the tomb, what day are we? That simple question could have solved the mystery. But they didn't believe. And because of unbelief, they start now questioning the fulfillment of the word. Amen. Because of unbelief, listen what the question Mary is asking. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Amen. Peter therefore went forth, another unbeliever. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they had both together. Verse 6. Then came Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and see the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about. Verse 8. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. The Bible says he saw and believed. Okay? He accepted. Let's see the next verse. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. But that scripture, Jesus spoke about it. He told them about it. But since they took it lightly, they didn't put all diligence in what the Lord was telling them. When it came now to fulfillment, it became like something they didn't hear about before. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now listen, Mary, one of the faithful, the most faithful of the disciples. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid.
Even if she sees the angel, she can't understand that they know this reason. She's still unbelieving. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid. She repeats the sentence. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus. Amen. Amen. She saw who?
Jesus.
The Word made flesh himself.
Amen.
I don't know if you get it.
Amen.
Unbelief was so full in her. She was so covered in darkness that the sun was standing in front of her. And saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Amen. Because of unbelief, the same Jesus, the Bible doesn't say he changed his face. It was the same Jesus they lived with for years. He was there standing in front of her. But since she didn't believe, because for her, Jesus was still dead, and someone stole his body, the body of Jesus was laying somewhere, hidden somewhere. So even though she could see him, she was so full of unbelief that she couldn't know it is Jesus. And see, the saddest thing, what unbelief can make someone do. How did she call the Lord? In verse 15, Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Who seeketh thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener. Amen.
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 She called the Word made flesh himself. She called him a gardener.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see what unbelief can bring you to do. No wonder why today, message believers, they blaspheme against the cloud.
Amen.
They call it names. They blaspheme against the prophets. They call him names. Why? Because of unbelief.
That's right.
Mary called the Lord she was worshiping, she called him the God. And I don't believe she spoke kindly to that man. I don't believe that. Because she was so upset, she was so convinced that someone stole the body. So when the man came and said, woman, why are you weeping? He said, listen, man, I'm not playing games here. You know, if you know where they put my Lord, tell him where they did. She was not supposed to be kind to him because it was a serious thing for her. And for her, it was the gardener. He was supposed to know because he was someone of the staffs of the graveyard. He was supposed to know where the body was. You see how far unbelief can go. Because of unbelief, the Word can be manifested in your presence.
Man.
And you will fail to see it. You will call it name. You will reject it. Amen.
Amen.
So, this foundation is very important because we are going to talk about the things God has done in this age. You need to be prepared. We need to, because God's promises are for us. If God has fulfilled these promises, it's for our benefit. And then we shouldn't be afraid, like in the first Exodus, when they went and saw the giants, they said, we can't possess the land. The land is ours.
Amen.
God has given us the land. Let walk and possess the land.
Amen.
Don't reject the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Don't reject the fulfillment of the Word today. And we are insisting on the fact that being in the message is okay, but we have to walk with the light.
Amen.
Because the light is not stable. The light is not static. In the first Exodus, they had to move with the pillar of fire.
Amen.
After crossing the Jordan, after crossing the Red Sea, if they had remained there, they would have died. Because the pillar of fire was moving. after seeing the miracle of the sea being open, said, okay, this is enough for me. I remain here. The manna wouldn't fall where you are. The manna was following the pillar of fire.
Amen.
Life was following the pillar of fire. So we are supposed to be dynamic Christians. Believe all the words. Believe all the promises of our age. Amen. Let's carry on. Luke 24. This is now our friends, the two disciples. So God saw, Jesus knew that keeping them all together, you know, they were encouraging themselves in their unbelief. So, you know, when unbelievers sit together, they start now, you know, bringing arguments. You know, this one brings his point of view in his unbelief, encouraging the other. The other one will bring his point of view, is, you know. So, the deepness of that unbelief becomes deep and deeper because they were together. The more they gather, the more they encourage, the more they go in deeper into their unbelief. Jesus said, no, I need to separate them. Because this thing is so important that if they remain together, they may not come. Because Jesus could have appeared to them just as they were sitting. But he took two of them. He said, okay, these two, I see the level of unbelief is not that deep. So they still have a certain understanding. They can still see. They are just influenced by, this is just me. I think Peter must have been the one who was very on the extreme of the unbelievers. Because him was, and Thomas as well. People like Thomas, people like Peter. If I keep these two people, I see there's still some light in them. If I keep them together with Peter and Thomas and the Bartholomew and the whoever, they will never believe. Let me separate them. Let's go to Emmaus. They started going. But they were still unbelievers. Amen. And it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Luke 24:15, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Did they know that it was Jesus? No. Jesus started walking with them. The Word made flesh, himself, walking with them. Why? They were encouraging themselves into their unbelief. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him. I don't think this man was kind as well. Because it was a current affair. It was a common topic in Jerusalem. Everybody knew what had just happened. Who are you, man? Where are you coming from? You don't know what happened in this town. So they were even ready to beat him up if he had argued with them. Because they were so depressed. They were so desperate that our Lord is dead. And this man, we don't know who he is, where he is coming from. He seems to be of the city, but he just wants to bother us with a silly question. Because it was a silly question. And the way they answered him, it was another way to tell him, man, you are silly. You don't know what's happening in this town. They said to him, thou art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things which are come to pass there in this day? And he said unto them, what things? Another question. which they thought was another silly question. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was the prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests. Now they are repeating the scriptures. They started repeating the same scripture Jesus told them about his death. That's why the written word, there's no life.
That's why Paul said, let them kill it, but the Spirit giveth life.
Amen.
They started quoting a written word, which was made flesh, made share. Sorry. Made flesh, I said in French. I think in French, actually. So, they were now quoting a scripture which was made flesh in front of them. They said, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. You see that they were not believers. We trusted that it should have been him. In other words, he failed his mission. Amen. In other words, he failed. And besides all this, today is the third day. Come on. You are saying it. You are saying it. Today is the third day. But what did he say about the third day? Nothing. Since these things were done. Yeah. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early in the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which had said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Amen. So they're still moving, developing their unbelief. You know, not only they were unbelievers, they were not trying to convince the word made flesh of their unbelief. Amen. They were not, the unbelief was so full in them that it started flowing, overflowing now. And they wanted to share it now with the word himself. They wanted otherwise to cover the word with unbelief. Because they were not preaching it. You are the word made flesh. But you know, we were believing that that man would be the deliverer. But 3 days now he's dead, so he has failed, you know. And certain women came and told us this and this and that, but we didn't see him. So they were trying to share their unbelief. Now listen what the Lord says. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, all the prophets have spoken. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to true believers. Those people who went through all the stages, who went all through all the, you know, the separation stages that there was in the ministry. You are still slow. You are not believers. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, all the things concerning himself. Now, he's trying now to take the spoken word, the written word, the mind of God, everything, trying to show them now the life that was in the mind of God, the life that was spoken by the spoken word of God. The life that became scripture written in the word is now today made manifest. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it started as he spoke in Genesis 1. He started now speaking life to existence. So that the disciples would say, our hearts, can you give me that? Our hearts were, when he was speaking to us, I don't know how to say it in English. Can you look, Luke 24, after he has shown them who he was, said, our hearts were 32. Yeah. Did not our heart burn within us when you, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us
while he talked with us by the way. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now he started speaking to clear unbelief.
Yeah.
He started clearing darkness.
Amen.
He started clearing that atmosphere of death around them.
Amen.
And light now started shining upon them.
Amen.
And the seed that was lying in them started now burning in them because it was exposed to the Word made flesh and it was coming up to life now. Amen.
Amen.
Because of the mercy of Jesus Christ, he came now to help them out of their unbelief. He came now to clear all the darkness around them, and then the life in them started springing up. Amen. But they did one thing. Instead of remaining with the believers, between them believers, because after Jesus has quickened the life in them, they believe now, they saw the Lord. They saw something he performed. He opened their eyes. They knew the Lord is risen. Instead of remaining on the side of the believers, they went back. Amen. They went back to meet again with the unbelievers. And listen, I'm not going to read that. What did they do? They liked their unbelief so much. They liked their position so much that even physically, they closed all the doors. They wanted to be inside the darkness. Amen. They liked so much that atmosphere of unbelief that they didn't want any light to come where they were.
My.
They closed the door. They said, we believe this, full stop. He's not risen, full stop. And let us remain inside our zone of comfort, inside our darkness. And they remain and they close the doors. So that no light, no revelation could enter where they were. We believe this, stop. He is not risen. Stop. We don't want any new revelation. The women came and said to them, he is risen. They closed the door. They said, you come with us. If you don't want to believe our doctrine, we chase you away. You remain here. We close the door. No light coming in. Amen. So that those who have seen, the women, they've seen the sign of his resurrection. Mary saw him. The two disciples saw him, but they came back and assembled together with the unbelievers. People like Thomas and Peter. I think they were the main speakers. If Cleopas wanted to say, I saw it, Cleopas, shut up. You're just a small boy. You know, when we were fishing with him there, were you there? Are you among the 12 disciples? So, just go ahead. Go away. So, they came back and assembled themselves with the unbelievers again. They shut the door. They didn't want to allow any ray of light. They hid themselves from the light and they were dying gradually. Slowly they were dying. But the Lord was so merciful that he said, if I let them in that condition, the seed is going to die. I need to shine the light in their midst. Amen. So the earth that was covered with darkness, the womb in which they were covered with darkness, the Lord said, let there be light. Amen. And the light himself, the person of the light himself, came into the womb and cast away all darkness around them. Now they could see. He opened their eyes. And they could clear now that atmosphere of unbelief. And they could accept the word of flesh. Amen. And we know there was still one who was so anchored in his unbelief, but the Lord was so merciful to him that he revealed himself to him. And they were humble enough to accept the evidence of the resurrection of the Lord. Amen. So, to conclude, these are just foundations that we are laying. My brother, my sister, we believe the word, we believe the message, but remember, the message, as I said before, the first coming of the Lord was a period. was a season in which the Lord was fulfilling a set of scriptures that were meant to be fulfilled that day. We have in our day scriptures that the Lord has put allocated for this age. And the Lord is fulfilling the scriptures. You may say, I believe Malachi 4. Yes, God bless you. They believed, Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was okay. But when some more light came, they had to move with the light. He was risen from the dead. They had to make that further step to walk with the revelation. If they remain stuck in eating manna, in eating bread and fish, they will die. Because some believed, some of them drunk in the wedding at Cana. They accepted, they drunk, but they were crying, crucified. Amen. So it's very important for us. The word the Lord has bestowed himself today in our age. The Lord, the word has been made flesh today, and it's our inheritance. It's up to us to stand. It's up to us with full assurance.
Amen.
Casting down every darkness. Because the Lord is the light that casts down every darkness. So don't cherish unbelief in your heart. Open up to the Lord. Let's accept the Lord. Let have good disposition to let the word come and shine upon us.
Amen.
And manifest the life it is supposed to manifest for us today.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
power in your faith. Your rapture lies in your believing or not believing. Your future home depends on you believing or not believing. The provision has been made. The word has been spoken. And it's a finished word. Because the prophet says, when God said something in his mind, it's a finished word. It's as if that thing has already been fulfilled. So it will never fail. You may fail the word. You may doubt the word. But it will fulfill.
Amen.
To those who believe it, it will become flesh. And the rapture will take place. That's why, my brother and my sister, it's good to believe the message. It's true that we believe the spoken word. We believe the written word. But the light, life that is the spoken, that is in the spoken word, it is manifested today. And rejecting the fulfillment of the spoken word, the fulfillment of the written word, there's no life. And that same letter will keep. Amen. So let's consider our voices. Let's consider our ways.
Yes.
And abandon ourselves to the Lord, asking Him to take away from us all unbelief, so that the way will be cleared, completely cleared.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
To the sunshine, to the beams of light, so that that seed which is lying in us should start burning now.
Yes.
Springing up and coming up to life to produce that rapture, to produce that new life in us. It depends on us. It's on our hands. Let's just believe the word. You can console yourself. I'm a message believer. I'm in the message. Peter was in the message. And he received one of the greatest revelations. But the Lord had to be merciful to him because he was backslidden. The Lord has to raise him again and bring him up into the presence of the Son so that he can be quickened to life again. It's the same thing with him today. While I'm praying, just lift your voice inwardly to the Lord and tell him, Lord, forgive my unbelief. Dear Lord, forgive me and help me humble myself in the presence of the Lord. Let me believe the full gospel because it's the only thing that can bring you to your presence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this evening, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for coming again and showing your mercy, showing your grace in our midst, O Lord. We didn't even know how to express these things, O Lord, because they are so deep, Heavenly Father. Human mind, human understanding can tweak it, O Lord. Human understanding can create confusion out of it, Lord. But we believe that the Holy Spirit has taken our poor grammar, O Lord, and made a clear picture to your people, O Lord. And that we will consider diligently our stand before your word. It shouldn't be a matter of habit, O Lord. It shouldn't be a matter of custom, O Lord. But we should consider day after day what the Lord as in provision for us, O Lord, and walk under that light, Heavenly Father. Bless your people for opening their mind. Bless your people for opening their hearts, O Lord. Bless your people for saying amen to the word, O Lord. And let that amen, that spirit of life which lies inside the amen, O Lord, because you are the amen, amen. Heavenly Father, you are the amen. And when they say amen, they say, come, Lord Jesus. Come in our hearts, O Lord. Let you, the person of the Amen, fill their hearts. all their being, O Lord. And let you, the Word made flesh today, fill our all being, O Lord, so that we can be manifested, transformed, and made alive to that same Word, Lord. Bless us as we commit our going back home into your hands now. Bless your people wherever they are. Be with us as we depart from this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.